Kids are wrapped in his globe while they're still young and meek. Chow dogs have big tongues, and that's a fact that you can check. Earthworms born of weak issues, well, maybe just a speck. There's a flower called a perennial, which means it blooms each year, not centennial.
Welcome to episode 14 of the Nightlight Stories podcast, recorded on October 22nd, 2009. This podcast tells one original story each episode that will light up the imagination of children of all ages, anytime, anywhere. I am your host and narrator, Miss Mal. This episode is the conclusion of The Patchwork Pumpkin, which was written by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. It's our very first two-part story. If you missed the first part, we suggest you go back and listen to episode 13 first, which you can find for free at www.nightlightstories.blogspot.com or iTunes. We are really excited that Coach Cotton of the Northern Virginia-based children's band Rocknoceros did a bumper for us. Like Coach said, you can buy copies of their three award-winning CDs, check out their calendar of upcoming shows, and view their very own podcasts at rocknoceros.com, amazon.com, CD Baby, and iTunes. We have been to see them in person twice, and each time we had a blast. They're an enthusiastic, friendly, and talented trio that really love what they do, and it shows. My kids danced for an entire 45 minutes during both of their shows. Afterward, they were more than happy to slap high fives with the kids when they went up to the stage. Frankly, they rock. So to celebrate our first two-part story, Rocknoceros generously donated their newest CD, Pink, as a giveaway. The contest is open now and will end on October 31st at midnight. It's simple to enter, and all the details are available on www.nightlightstories.blogspot.com. As you listen to the conclusion of the story, consider the following. How do you help out around your house? The Patchwork Pumpkin by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. Millie pedaled her bike around the potholes in the road on her way to the dairy barn. Crows flew overhead, filling the silent fields with the sound of cacophonous caws. As she pulled up to the big red barn, she saw her father's rusted old pickup truck parked outside. She dropped her bike next to the truck and yanked the heavy barn door open. "Daddy!" she called strongly over the moo of the cows who greeted both her and the cool morning air. "Up here, Mill!" she heard her father shout back. She could hear him forking the hay bales. Her dad always told her that they weighed more than a baby calf, and she heard an exasperated "Ugh!" with every lift and toss. Millie climbed the ladder and was met with her father's red face covered in sweat. He leaned on the pitchfork and said, "Phew, I could use a break. What can I do for you, young lady?"
"I wanted to thank you for carving the pumpkin," said Millie.
"Oh, you're welcome. You know how it is this time of year, Millie. I'm sorry I didn't get home until late last night. Did you like it, or was it too funny looking?"
"No, I like funny, Dad. I was thinking it could be a bit scarier this year, but I like it just as it is. Good job. I really like the rectangular nose. We've never had one of those before," chuckled Millie. "I love you, Daddy."
"I love you too, little lady, but you'd better get going. I've got to get back to work. I still have lots to do," said her father, lifting up a particularly heavy bale of hay. Suddenly, something silver shot across the room. The streak of silver shocked Millie, making her flinch. It hit an old milk jug propped up in the corner with a clang and landed in the hay next to Millie's feet. Millie's father dropped his pitchfork and said,
"Oh, no, you've got to be kidding me."
Millie reached down and picked up a shiny silver belt buckle.
"I broke my belt,"
exclaimed Millie's father.
"You must have caught it with the pitchfork as you were lifting the hay," explained Millie as she held it up to show him.
Millie's father took off his broken belt and handed it to Millie.
will you bring this back to the house with you? Asked her father, annoyed with the fact that one more thing had gone wrong. And bring me a pair of suspenders. I'll be in the horse barn, cleaning out the stalls after this. You can find me there. Millie ran to her bike, sticking the belt buckle in her pocket, and wound the belt around her handlebars. She flew home as fast as her legs could pedal. She skidded up to the front porch, hopped off her bike, letting it fall to the ground next to the broken rake, and ran inside. Millie ran right past the note on the door that read, "Gone to buy a new rake. Be back soon. Love, Mom." Millie darted up the stairs and into her parents' bedroom. Millie tossed the broken belt on her mother's sewing table, right next to the oil-stained flannel shirt and coffee-stained pajama bottoms. She spotted the suspenders hanging off the mirror of her father's dresser. She grabbed the suspenders and slung them over her shoulder just as she heard the familiar sound of her mother pulling up to the house. Perfect timing, thought Millie. Millie collected a pair of scissors from her mother's sewing table, along with the flannel shirt and the pajama pants. Mom! Millie called down the stairs when she heard her mother come through the front door. Can you help me? Sure, honey. What do you need? Answered Millie's mother up from the kitchen. Can you take Dad these suspenders? Said Millie, throwing the suspenders down the stairs. His belt broke. I suppose, but I have all of these leaves to pick up, called Millie's mom. Don't worry, Mom. I'll take care of those. He's probably still in the loft, answered Millie reassuringly. What are you doing, Millie? Asked Millie's mom. I've got a project to do. You'll see, answered Millie. Okay, Millie. Just make sure you take care of those leaves. I will, Mom. Millie quickly laid her father's oil-stained flannel shirt on the floor and cut off the buttons. Then she cut off both pockets and laid the material on the floor next to the pajama bottoms. Millie reached into her pocket and pulled out the silver belt buckle. Using her fingers as check marks, she went over the list in her head. Pajama bottoms, check. Flannel shirt, check. Belt buckle, check. Buttons, check. Extra material, check. Leaves, check. She had everything she needed to complete the project. When she heard her mother leave, Millie gathered up her supplies and ran downstairs to the front porch. Standing in front of the pumpkin, she went to work. Later that afternoon, as the sun began to make its descent in the western field, Millie rode her bike out to the horse stables. The heavy backpack on her back made the riding a little awkward at first, but after a while she got used to the extra weight. Just as she expected, her father's pickup truck was still there at the stables. She hopped off her bike and placed it, along with the backpack, into the back of the truck. She didn't think she'd be riding her bike back to the house that evening. Dad! She called as she walked into the stables. Hey, Mill! Called her dad. Is dinner ready? Did Mom tell you to come get me? It might be. I'm not sure. I've been busy all afternoon. Me too. I still have so much to do. I'm just finishing up in here, said her dad. In fact, can you help me finish up here? Just help me toss those blankets on the horses and I'll be done here. Millie helped her father place the heavy quilted blankets on the horses. What else do you need to do tonight? Asked Millie. Well, if I can, I'd like to give the Westfield one more pass with the tractor to scare away the crows. I'm sure they've literally had a field day with our crops, said Millie's father with a sigh. But, Dad, there hasn't been a single crow in that field all afternoon, said Millie, showing a true look of confusion on her face. What? What are you talking about? Said Millie's father, sharing his own look of bewilderment. Let me show you. Let's head out to the west field, said Millie, waving to her dad to follow her. The pair locked the stables and climbed into the truck. Millie's father asked repeatedly what she was up to, but Millie refused to say anything more than, you'll see. As the truck rumbled down the dirt path toward the west field, the farmer noticed a figure standing out in the field. Is that your mother out there? Asked Millie's father. You'll see, said Millie. What is she doing out there by herself? He asked, but as they drew nearer, he could see that the figure was too tall to be his wife. The sun hung in the sky directly behind the figure, making it little more than a silhouette in the fall sky. Who is that? He asked again. You'll see, said Millie, anxious to show her father her surprise. A cloud of dust billowed up from the rear wheels of the truck and drifted over the figure as the truck came to a stop. Well, will you look at that, said the farmer. I thought you might like it, said Millie proudly. The farmer stood in the middle of the field with his hands on his hips staring at the figure that wore an oil-stained flannel shirt and coffee-stained pajama bottoms. You made a scarecrow, said the farmer, looking down at Millie. I knew you wouldn't have time, so I thought I could help, said Millie. Mom broke the rake, so I used that as his back. Then I stuffed your ruined shirt and pajama pants with the leaves from the front yard. You like him?
Yeah, I do. He's cool. He's been keeping the crows away all afternoon, has he? Asked the farmer.
No, I've been doing that by working out here, putting him together. But I bet he'll keep them away once we leave.
I see. I bet he'll do a fine job. But isn't he missing something? Asked the farmer, pointing up to the top of the rake handle.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the best part, replied Millie, running to the back of the truck. Can you give me a hand with this?
Looking back, the farmer saw Millie trying to lift something heavy and orange out of her backpack.
What do you have there, Millie? Asked her father.
It's our, grunted Millie as she squirmed and wiggled, jack-o'-lantern.
Yanking the pumpkin the rest of the way out, Millie turned it to face her father. The roundish holes that were once eye sockets were now covered with black buttons, making the eyes look dark and mysterious. The space that made up the rectangular nose was now filled with a silver, shiny belt buckle that shimmered in the waning sunlight. Covering each square-shaped tooth was a triangular piece of flannel cut from the shirt's pockets that looked like sharp, menacing fangs.
"Well, that will certainly keep those crows scared away," said the farmer gleefully.
Together, Millie and her father lifted the patchwork pumpkin up and set it carefully as the head of the scarecrow.
"And you know what the best part is, Dad?" said Millie.
"We made it together." We hope you enjoyed the story. As always, I look forward to watching the glow grow brighter with the many stories we can share together.